Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for this chance to be gathered in your house, to sing your praises, to lift up our prayers, to hear from your word. Father, as we are traveling in this season of Lent, tonight you remind us of the importance of remembering Jesus' words. Help us, Father, to take this message to heart. And help us, Father, to be transformed in our hearts and in our minds, in our emotions, in our memories, in our words, in our actions, in every fiber of our being, Father. Transform us by the power of Jesus' words, Father, for his words are life and his words are love. And help us, Father, not to be like the Dead Sea, a body which merely collects into it that which is life but doesn't produce life from it. But Father, transform us even as you prophesied through Ezekiel and in Revelation. Transform us into life-giving waters that are teeming with life and from which the trees of life can bear their fruit in season and out of season. Father, be with us tonight as we go our separate ways. Give us a good night's rest that we would awake refreshed and restored, ready to be about those good works that you have prepared in advance for us to do. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name, according to your will, for your glory, and all of God's children. We all say, Amen. Amen. In your worship folders, there is a space there for discipleship notes. I want to encourage you to open up your worship folders. Here's why. I believe that when you listen to the Word of God, God speaks to you if your heart is open to it. And I think that when God speaks to you, you should take note. You should humble yourself and take notes and then reflect on them, take them home, and pray about them, and think about how God is leading you into new paths. Amen? Amen? Amen. 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 So our sermon text for tonight is Luke chapter 22, is verses 61 and 62. Let me read it for us again. It says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Our sermon for tonight is titled, Remember Jesus' Words. Sounds like such a good idea, remembering Jesus' words. But the problem is that so often we don't do that. We, in fact, choose not to remember Jesus' words. And there's all sorts of reasons as to why we choose not to remember Jesus' words. I think one reason why we choose not to remember Jesus' words is because they're uncomfortable. They're challenging to us. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. How many people like doing that? That's what I thought. None of us like that. Jesus said that we should forgive as we've been forgiven. Kind of tough with some people. And so we choose to ignore that. We choose to deny that Jesus taught that. We choose to say that, no, I don't need to forgive. I can do whatever I want to whomever I want. And I can justify myself in this. We choose not to remember Jesus' words because they are challenging. I think we also choose not to remember Jesus' words because, quite frankly, we don't spend a lot of time in his word. We don't spend a lot of time every day in the word of God. And because we don't spend a lot of time in the word of God, when we come into a challenging situation, what do? We think of something else. We think of something that somebody else said. We think of our own opinion. But the last thing we would think of is Jesus' words. because we just haven't been spending time in His Word. And so it's not what they say, top of the mind awareness. It's not just what comes to us right away. No, we choose not to remember Jesus' words. Sometimes it's out of pride, like Peter. Peter was prideful. He said, Lord, if all the others would deny you and leave you, I would never do that. How'd that work out for Peter? Right? We choose not to remember the words of Jesus. And that is why so often in our lives, we find ourselves like Peter, feeling all by ourselves, out in the dark, crying. Because we know we have let Jesus down. We know that we've disappointed Him. Our pride is crushed. We thought of ourselves as being pretty good Christians. And here we are, a failure. And I just want to point out to you, that's why we have confession and absolution at the beginning of a worship service. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? So that we can take that feeling of being out in the dark by ourselves and get rid of that garbage and know that we are one and we are right with our Savior in heaven. Can we give God a praise clap for that tonight? Amen. 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 Here's the thing I want to just stress with you tonight, that as we think about the importance of remembering Jesus' words, think about why we would want to remember His words. Are we to remember His words because somebody's coming after us with a stick and beating it into us? No. We are to remember the words of Jesus because His words are life and His words are love. And I want to share some examples with you. In John chapter 10, verse 10, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they would have life, that they would have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. These are Jesus' words of life and love to you today, that He sees you as a sheep within His flock, as one that He would lay down His life for, a sheep imperfect in many ways, but a sheep of His flock nonetheless. And then Jesus went on and said just a little bit later in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, for I and my Father are one. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is such a blessing to hear this from Jesus, because there are people in your life who, if they could, they would go straight to the Father, and they would go to the Father and they would say, now this person over here who thinks that they're a child of yours, you really don't want them in your family because they're going to bring down your reputation, just in case you didn't know, because they do this and they don't do that. And so you'd be better off if you could just kind of wipe your hands clean of them. But Jesus said, no one can pluck you out of my Father's hand. No one can pluck you out of my hand. Your salvation is secure in the hand of your Father in heaven. Your salvation is secure in the hand, the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. Amen? Amen. No one can pluck you out. And then Jesus says in Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, suffer the little children forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. What a beautiful scene that must have been. Moms and dads bringing their children, their infants to Jesus. It's interesting, when you read in the original Greek, there's two Greek words used to describe the infants and the children there. The one is paideia, and that's where we get the English word pediatrician. Some people pronounce it pediatrician. And in the Jewish culture of that time, a paideia was a child that nursed at their mother's breast. This is an infant. The other word is technon, and it means a small child, maybe up to 4 or 5 or 6 years. Both of those words are used in this passage. Jesus is speaking of them, and he uses both words, paideia and technon. See, the disciples, they saw the babies, and they saw these little children who could toddle and maybe just begin to walk and start to run. And the disciples said, no, they're not worthy of the master's time. And Jesus rebuked his disciples, and he said, let the little children come to me. Now, some of them had to be brought by their moms and dads because they couldn't walk yet. And some of them probably toddled up so they could receive that blessing from Jesus. And then Jesus said, unless you will receive the kingdom of heaven like one of these, you'll never enter into it. And so what a blessing this is, brothers and sisters, for a mom, for a dad, for a grandmother, for a grandfather, to know that when they bring their baby to be baptized, that something really happens there. That in the waters of baptism, they're buried with Christ into his death. So that just as he was raised from the dead, so also they will be raised from the dead. And then Jesus says this, words of life and words of love. In Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, Jesus answering said unto them, those who are well do not need a physician, but rather those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the love of our Savior. These are the words that we need to remember. These are the words of Jesus that we need to remember. When we sin, not if we sin, when we sin, when we fall short of the glory of God. We need to remember that if we say we have no sin, there is no truth in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins. In fact, it is sinners, not self-righteous people, that Jesus came to this earth for. And then the last one I want to share with you is from Luke chapter 23. Hanging on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, Jesus came into this world to save it. He didn't come into this world to condemn it. And so that's why when he's hanging on the cross and he's looking at these people who are nailing him there, who've stolen his clothing, who've beaten him and whipped him and done all sorts of horrible things to him, Jesus' words are words of love, and Jesus' words are words of life. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember Jesus' words in this season, but not just in this season, in every season of our life. And one reason also to remember Jesus' words is not just because they're life and they're love, and they certainly are that, but Jesus' words have power. Jesus took unleavened bread, and Jesus took wine, and Jesus spoke words over those two elements, and he transformed them into his body and his blood. And he transformed them into something which would do something. They would take away our sins, and they would strengthen us in our faith. Jesus said to the disciples, and he says to you and I today, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything that I have commanded you, baptizing them. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the very end of the age. Jesus wants us to go into the world and baptize and to make disciples and to teach. This is what we're called to do. And so when we say as a church in our mission statement that we're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel through our preaching, our teaching, and then what's the third one? Help me remember it. Living our day. I knew somebody knew it. Through living our daily lives. This is the thing I want you to think about as we wrap up the message tonight. I want you to think about that fire. I want you to think about Peter there. And Peter is brokenhearted. And he knows he has let down his Savior. His pride is stripped away from him. He knows he's a failure. But you know what? Peter, in that deep, dark night, Peter, unlike Judas, remembered Jesus' words. Because unlike Judas, Peter did not despair. Yes, he was crushed. Yes, he went off. But Peter held on to the words of Christ, even in his moment of defeat. And that is why Jesus went and found Peter after he was raised from the dead. And that is why Jesus reinstated Peter and made him into an apostle. And Jesus is God in human form. Jesus is omniscient. Jesus knows all things. When Jesus reinstated Peter, he knew that Peter was going to goof it up again. He knew that Peter and Paul were going to be at loggerheads over the whole thing of the Gentiles and the Jews. Jesus knew all of that in advance. And here's the thing to remember about Jesus. Jesus uses broken vessels to do eternally significant things. You're one of those broken vessels, and I'm one of those broken vessels. And tonight, I want to encourage you to remember Jesus' words. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep all of our hearts and all of our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.